Hey, it's Ben Greenfield here of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show, where we cover everything from performance to fat loss, recovery, digestion, brain, sleep, hormone optimization, pretty much everything you need to know to look, feel, and perform like a superhuman. Our past few episodes include topics like how to look good naked, the best anti-aging workouts, polyphasic sleep, the Iceman returns with Wim Hof, and many other episodes that shatter the way that you think about health and how to reinvent your body and teach you the most cutting-edge, proven scientific ways to get results fast. You'll never have to guess again about how to eat, how to exercise, how to live a long time, how to live as good a life as possible, and even how to biohack your body. So check it all out. Tune into the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show and enjoy the ride.
Download new episodes at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who's your podcast bro-chacho, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our voicemail podcast here for episode number 4 of Survivor Cambodia. And I'm here in the studio once again for the first time since the Survivor Cambodia preview show with the first lady of podcasting. Here she is, Nicole Cesternino.
Hello, everybody.
Nicole, do we need to issue a spoiler alert for the National League divisional series between the Mets and the Dodgers?
No, I can't believe people on Twitter were talking about anything else.
Yes, well, we can confirm at this hour the Mets have won. We're not going to be bad fans. We're going to just do like it's a happy night here. And we have Dodgers fans listening to the podcast. I'm not going to rub it in because I hate when that happens to me. So we're happy. It's a good night here. And I'm glad at least that the podcast was delayed for a good reason.
Yes, I'm worried about the Mets fans that were celebrating at Dodger Stadium. I hope they make it home alive.
Yes, <that's>, we're hoping for the Mets fans that are at Dodger Stadium tonight because it can get dangerous. All right,
we're praying for you.
All right, we're not going to bore you guys who don't care about baseball, but we're very excited for this. And it's going to be Mets really have their work cut out for them with the Cubs in the next series. But more on that to come. Also on the horizon, I am getting ready to go to San Francisco in the morning.
And I'm not.
Yes, and Nicole is not. But Nicole is frightening me because she keeps telling me that she is going to be having this baby. She was just taking a BuzzFeed quiz. Am I in labor?
Is labor impending?
Yes, and what did the quiz say?
It said yes.
It said yes.
Yes. Okay.
So we will see exactly what's going on there. Hopefully, Nicole, we'll be able to get through this podcast.
Well, let's hope my water doesn't break.
Yeah, well, if you were going to go into labor, I do feel like on the podcast would be the most exciting way to go into labor.
Yeah, that or Snapchat.
Snapchat, yeah. Snapchat, I feel like we can do that in the car. We could do that in the delivery room.
Right when the baby comes out.
Right there. What was your policy on me Snapchatting the delivery?
As long as you don't get below the curtain.
Okay, yeah. I stay north of the equator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so Nicole is here. Of course, part one of this week's episode recap was a lot of fun. Hopefully this one ends on better terms. But we had a very, interesting conversation with Randy Bailey. Yes, that Nicole's longtime favorite, Randy Bailey, was the guest on the episode recap. A good 2 hours with Randy Bailey, and most of it went extremely well. You could check that out.
Isn't that how it always goes, though?
Seems like there's a pattern. Seems like there's a pattern. Anyway, you can check that out on robinswebsite.com. And then we'll get back into our amazing race coverage coming up this weekend. All right. So
I'm really liking this new headset thing.
You do. So
yes,
Nicole,
this is so much better.
This is Nicole's first time since I've installed the second microphone up here in the studio. She used to have to wear the headset because she would wander with the microphone. Like she couldn't be trusted to hold the microphone because then she would start to drift. She was a drifter.
I am a drifter.
Okay, but now here it is that is set up. It's on like a stand in here.
I did get in trouble twice though already.
Ideally, we just want to have that microphone pointed in the direction of where your mouth is. I think that's how I read the instructions. That's how it works.
It's always the goal.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's our goals AF.
Yes.
Goals AF. So anyway, we are here to talk about your voicemails here. And of course, we're going to get into the survivors' social media here all from episode number 4. So very excited. This is also going to be probably Nicole's last podcast with us before baby number 2 arrives.
Labor is impending.
According to Nicole's quiz that she took on her phone.
If I was allowed to have a Snapchat, I would have Snapchat my BuzzFeed quiz.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway, so let me just thank our sponsor before we get too far along. And those are our friends over at Harry's, of course, who makes fine shaving products. And of course, I know that Nicole is always impressed by a guy that with a clean shave, right?
Oh yes.
Yes. Of course.
You look like you're 12 when you shave.
Yes. Well, that's because I have fantastic razors and shaving products from Harry's, because they are the center of the Venn diagram, Nicole, between quality and affordability, because Harry's will send you the best stuff, so you don't have to go to the drugstore and deal with all the hassle of buying shaving stuff. They keep it all under lock and key sometimes. Let Harry's worry about that. They send it right to your house. They're serious about shaving. They have a razor blade factory in Germany, and they've got this great deal where they're going to be giving our listeners $5 off their first purchase of a starter set with the coupon code RHAP. Enter the code. You get the starter set for $10. That's a month of shaving for $10 with the promo code RHAP. You get the handle for the razor. You get 3 high quality German engineered blades and the bottle of shaving cream. $10. Can you beat that?
No. Did you use it today?
I did.
You actually didn't cut yourself.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Anyway, Harry's delivers a superior shave for an incredible price. So say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. Say hello to Harry's high quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout, get $5 off your first purchase, get a month of shaving for just $10 with the promo code RHAP at checkout. That's harrys.com with the code RHAP. All right, Nicole, let's get into our voicemails. Of course, these come to us from our listeners every week. They're calling in at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or with our phone line at 323-282-RHAP.
Very clever.
And before we jump into the voicemails, Nicole, what's been your take on this season?
I like it.
Nicole and I actually do not talk very much about Survivor in the house. Like, I think that people probably think that outside of the studio, or maybe they don't think this, that it's sort of a continuation of things we might talk about on the podcast. Nothing could be further than the truth, because outside of this podcast, Nicole doesn't talk to me.
Oh, stop it.
Unless she's telling me something that needs to be done in the house.
Because it never gets done.
Okay. But you don't deny the accusation.
Yeah, it's a little exaggerated.
You're not a conversationalist.
I'm not a conversationalist.
Yeah.
I like silence.
Okay. All right. So that is not what we are here for today, though. And today we want to hear you talk about Survivor and give us your perspective on this season. Are you enjoying the Second Chance season?
I am enjoying it.
Okay. So far, so good. Okay. So let's get into this. So this is going to be an adventure for me as well, because I have no idea what Nicole is going to want to be talking about when we get into these people. So why don't we start off with a question from Meg, wants to know about the Abby Maria.
Hi, Rob and Nicole. It's Meg from New Jersey. I'm just wondering, when are we going to have to switch from dismissing Abby's game to giving her some sort of credit? I mean, she's managed to keep herself safe at every tribal so far, and even kind of seems to be in a power position. Are we just so distracted by how much of an emotional train wreck she is that we're blind to a potential strategy that she has? Is this fan fiction? Am I being misted by Abby Maria? All right. Thanks. And best wishes for a healthy new baby.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Meg from New Jersey. Is this Meg from Big Brother?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Grandma gets cranky sometimes.
All right. So, Nicole, let's talk about this. Abby Maria.
Yes.
What's been your take on her overall?
I'm slightly confused about this whole Abby Maria situation.
What's confusing you?
Like, is she in control, or is she, like, people scared of her?
Oh, people are scared of her.
With me, you're dead.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand why they just didn't vote her out.
Well, I think that that's probably a good question. And for a lot of this, I think that Tasha is feeling like she can control Abby Maria Abby Maria feels like that she has numbers with them. And I feel like that Abby Maria has sort of like hitched her wagon to what's going on with Tasha and Andrew Savage. I did see on Twitter today, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves with the social media, but basically like Eliza was like blasting Abby Maria on social media. And they're like, why would you vote off Jeff Varner? She's like, why? And Abby Maria
was a big Jeff Varner fan.
Yes. And basically Abby Maria said that his foot was really bad also.
Uh-huh.
So I think that that's also a big part of it.
I'm sure.
So Tasha doesn't trust him. And then also he is sort of like the walking wounded right now, or barely walking wounded.
But I mean, doesn't it say something for Abby Maria that she voted him out? Like you can't trust her.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can't trust her, but what is she supposed to do? Just like ultimately just keep him around no matter what? Like it was really the choice was between, again, she wanted to vote out Wu. They said, okay, no, that's vote true. Out Jeff Varner.
Right.
And this is a third thing you're talking about of everybody vote out Abby Maria.
Mm-hmm. Not that I want to see her go.
Yes, that's right. Because
with me, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to be dead.
No. Okay.
So Nicole, so Abby Maria,
uh-huh.
Are we sleeping on Abby Maria? Is Abby Maria the power player of this season potentially? And we are missing the boat.
Maybe we are.
But what do you think?
I think people are just scared of her.
Who's scared of her? The other people on the tribe?
Yeah.
See, I don't know if it's necessarily that they're afraid of her. I think they're afraid of making her mad.
Well, that means, I mean, that's what you would say about me.
That is what I would say about you. So in the case of, I guess if I was somebody who's out there, again, it's not like I'm like, I'm not afraid that, you know, my Abby Maria is going to like be like the mastermind of some plan, but I am afraid that my Abby Maria is going to carry on and make my life miserable so that you need to sort of like stay in her good graces. Mm-hmm. Because
I am your friend.
Me too.
But if you don't want your dad.
Yes, and I feel like Nicole has said this many times also.
So
I feel like I would have a lot of good experience in being able to deal with Abby Maria if I was out there.
You're such a jerk.
Yeah. I feel like I would be ready to go. So I don't think.
So what would you do
with Abby Maria?
Yeah.
I think Jeff Varner said it really well in his exit interview with me. It's like, oh, Abby Maria, you're so beautiful. You're so funny. Like he said, you're the Brazilian J-Lo. And oh my God. And so I think that you just sort of just give her a lot of compliments and
keep her
praise.
Smiling.
Keep her happy. Tell her she's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then overall, just, you know, patronize. And then, you know, everything is good.
Is that why you said I looked pretty today?
No, it's because you are.
Oh, wait, no, you didn't even say that.
It's again that I don't want to go too far off the beaten path. Hard to give Nicole a compliment then, because then she says that either you're lying or it's a
what do you want?
Yeah, and that could be its whole other different pitfall. So
because you when you give a compliment, you have the face.
Yes, what's the face?
The face of there's something else.
No, that's yes, not true. That's
it is
not
very true.
So Abby Maria loves compliments.
Who doesn't?
You.
Because I know that you're up to something.
Okay. All right. I don't know if we got anywhere with that one. But no, I don't believe that Abby Maria is the mastermind of the season. Maybe she goes on to win and I have to, you know, eat my words like I have with many people like Tony,
mm-hmm.
who I did not think was, you know, the greatest player ever. And he did go on to win this season. So
and he
I
did was, fantastic.
I was wrong on a number of things with Tony.
Who was your pick this season?
I believe that my pick was Sierra.
Oh, right.
Not, hey, nobody's talking about getting rid of her.
She's not even talking.
Fine. That's fine. Okay. So then let's go ahead and take another question about the Abby Maria and what she's doing. This is one that is from Brent from Hamilton, Ontario. And he wants to talk Abby.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. This is Brent calling from Hamilton, Ontario. So my question to you, Rob, is that in the past you've stated that when returning players come into the game, they tend to adapt at least one trait from the person who won the previous season they played in. So my question to you is, how smug are you feeling right now that just like Denise, so far Abby Maria has gone to every single tribal council? It's nice to be proven right, isn't it?
Okay, Nicole. So I do say that I feel like people come back into Survivor with a little bit of the magic from the winner of that season. They try to come back and do what the winner was doing. Is Abby Maria trying to go to every single tribal council like Denise?
I don't think she's thought of that.
No, probably not. Probably not. I know that, you know, I like to give myself credit and pat myself on the back when I can, but I don't think that Abby Maria is intentionally saying, let me go to every tribal council because I will have the best story. Of course, she played in Survivor Philippines, which is the season of stories where everybody's talking about, all right, what's your story, Abby? You went to every tribal council and people counted you out. You weren't the mastermind of the season. People patronized you. That made you feel bad. And now here you are at the end of the game and you're ready to win.
It's getting better. Impression's getting better.
Thank you. But anyway, so I don't believe that Abby, this is what Abby Maria is doing.
No, it's not intentional.
You don't think so? Do you think that Abby Maria is doing anything like Denise? Denise was my guest on the podcast last week. We had a very nice chat. If anybody missed that episode of the podcast.
I saw it come up again on the iPad.
So you were jealous again that you saw a goofy gal come up.
Because I get so jealous.
You were very, very upset about that.
Oh, please.
Yes. Okay. Let's not get distracted again.
Yeah.
Every question. So then, so you don't think that Abby Maria is intentionally saying, let me go to every tribal council because Denise did it. And that was the path to victory for her.
Oh, no. Although she might say that at the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's go back to something that you brought up. Let's check in with Ben, who also is curious about why Abby didn't get voted out.
Hey, Rob. It's Ben from Maryland. Love the podcast, man. Always a great job. Anyway, I just finished watching the episode and I'm listening to the podcast. I'm confused about something. So much is made about Abby being the swing vote, but why was she the swing vote? You have Tasha and Savage. If they want to vote Varner out, they go to Wu and say, we're going to vote out Varner. You can let Abby, you can tell Abby whatever you want at that point. Even if Abby votes with Varner to vote out Wu, it's still 3-2. They can't do anything about it. So worst case, Abby's a little mad when you come back from the tribal council, but she doesn't have the numbers at that point anyway. I don't see why it was being made such a big deal other than good TV, I guess. And it was good. Here's what you think. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ben. And Ben is a great listener of the show. We met him at the Survivor Know-It-Alls Live 2 back earlier this year. So, Nicole, how about this with Abby Maria? Are you buying that? Hey, why does Abby Maria have to even be on board? You have Wu, you have Tasha, you have Andrew Savage. So what's the big deal if Abby Maria gets a little mad?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking when Tasha was talking. I was like, why don't they just vote Abby Maria out? She's so unreliable.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as Abby Maria gets a little mad. Abby Maria doesn't get a little mad.
Yeah.
She's got either two speeds. She's either mad or not mad. Mm-hmm. And you don't want her mad.
Right.
And so here's the problem where if you then go ahead and you just say, okay, well, you know what, Abby Maria, if you're going to stick with Jeff Varner, then tough. We're going to go ahead and vote out Wu. Again, unless you're just saying, okay, then we'll just vote out Abby Maria next. Okay. That's fine, but then, you know, she's going to completely go nuts.
I mean, and you don't know if you're going to win or lose immunity and you're stuck with her for another 3 weeks being really pissed off.
Right. Or you don't know if there's going to be some sort of tribe swap next. Right. And now she's going, this is her mission in the game that, okay, well, you know, you effed with me. So now you know what happens next. You are dead. So it's not a desirable situation. So they wanted their cake. They wanted to eat it too. They wanted to get rid of Jeff, but they did want Abby Maria to sign off on it.
But you know what? Good for Abby Maria that she has this kind of effect on people. Like, she's still there. People are doing what she wants and they don't want to make her mad.
Yeah, they don't want to make Abby Maria mad. Do you think that Abby Maria is getting mad at me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I really hope that that's not the case.
Well, you don't want to see her voted out. You love watching her.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're just talking about what we're seeing on the show.
All we're seeing is Abby Maria.
Yes. So it's hard to say that, you know, that this is like a great plan because I don't know ultimately if then, you know, she'd have to, you know, be at the end against people that they hate. It's almost like she'd need like some sort of like plan for this to ultimately work. There needs to be like some sort of Russell Hance type figure where they're like, well, we don't want to give her the money.
Right.
but she's not making a lot of friends out there.
Right, but she's a great person to take to the end.
She would be a great person to get to the end. And as we get to talking about the merge, then I think that's going to be a bigger deal. Like, I feel like that this is sort of like a very big hurdle for her to get through this part of the game where we're getting down into these small numbers where it really is reliant on some sort of like how strong you are. Because once we get to the merge, then it's time to start talking about the Joes and, you know, Terry and people like that, Savage, who are really going to be threats in the challenges.
Yeah.
So Abby Maria has a few more weeks to get through here, and then she's going to be probably smooth sailing. So let's talk about Austin from Australia. He's got a familiar question.
Hi, Robin, Nicole. This is Austin from Australia, and I'm calling back again about third time's the charm. It's almost a given this week, but surely Jeff Varner is going to get a third chance at Survivor, isn't he? Please tell me he is. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Nicole, so I know you listen to all of the podcasts, so I don't need to tell you that we've been tracking all season long which of the second chancers are probably in line for a third chance at Survivor in the upcoming season, Survivor Third Time's the Charm.
Yes.
So, Nicole, Jeff Varner, yes or no for Third Time's the Charm?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, he should get it. Do you think it will happen?
I do think it will happen because I think that they really liked him on the show. Like, he got so much airtime.
Okay, well, here is the ultimate question. Can Jeff Varner ever make the jury?
Third time's a charm, right?
Third time's a charm. It's hard to imagine the scenario now. Like, I feel like that this was his best chance.
Yeah.
Because now I sort of feel like he's in the boat with me. He's a little exposed, and now the next time he plays, I think everybody, again, I don't think he's going to get a better setup than he had in this season. And
right.
I feel like people are going to say, oh, that Jeff Varner, he's up to something. I don't know if I could trust him.
Totally.
Again, he wasn't lying to people necessarily.
Like, he was just playing hard.
He was playing hard, and he's also somebody who's not helping you win challenges. So I feel like basically, like, he's right there with me in terms of people that go back that are going to have just big targets on their back.
Yeah.
So maybe he could be on a tribe with me, and then that's fine. I'll keep Jeff Varner around.
Who else is on that tribe?
With me, all the people, Steven.
Steven.
Sure.
That would be a good tribe.
Yeah. All the people that are like not super useful in the challenges, probably of the three of us, Steven is the most useful in the challenges, even though he doesn't really ever do anything in the challenges.
You're useful. Don't.
Come on.
All right. You're not.
Keep going. What do you want from me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, so I think that Jeff is probably going to get a third chance, but I am concerned about how he will fare in that said third chance.
Yeah, he has to slow his roll.
I feel like he was really set up well in this second one.
Yeah, totally.
And I was worried about it. He's playing the game too hard. And I felt like there's so many people.
We had said that from the beginning.
Yeah, there's so many people that had like reverence for him. So many people, everybody loved him in this cast.
It was starstruck, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that then this time around, he just ended up like that original tribe that he was on. If Takeo could have just stuck together, he was set up really well there. But then they go down to these three tribes, and three tribes can be tricky.
We know that.
I know that. So... It's tough. All right. So then let's take this next question, which is also about Jeff Varner, because now we have to move on to life without Jeff Varner on this season and start to figure out what that is going to start to look at. And let's take this question from our good friend Josh in New Hampshire.
Hey, Rob. Josh Balling calling from New Hampshire. Obviously, for the first four episodes, Jeff Varner was driving the storyline. He was driving this season. He seemed to be, quote unquote, in the driver's seat on pretty much everything. And I'm wondering where you see the season going from here. Who takes that driver's seat now that Varner's gone? To me, it seems like this is a huge change and a huge moment in the season. Someone who was this enthusiastic and this pumped up about being out there. I really wonder which way the season's going to go from here, and wonder who's going to be taking that quote unquote driver's seat. Anyways, love the show as always. Keep up the great work. See ya.
So, Nicole, who is going to be taking over the driver's seat from Jeff Varner? Will it be Missy?
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
She's not on this season.
Oh, okay. Then if that's not the case, then who will be taking over the driver's seat?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Will it be Shireen?
Maybe I'm not in the driver's seat right away, but I'm in the passenger seat, backseat driving.
She's in the passenger seat in Ponderosa.
Okay, so then I don't know who's driving. All right. So then I guess then let's try to figure it out, because now there's a big void where Jeff Varner's airtime went. He was probably the person who had the most airtime through four episodes. Now he's gone, and now we have to start to fill the void with people that we haven't heard much from. Do you think that we will see the people that have been sort of like the medium airtime people become like the new Jeff Varners, or do you think we'll start to hear from the people we haven't been hearing from?
I don't know, but I think this is good news for a lot of people. Like, I saw Monica Padilla on there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's here.
Jeff Varner was like this big, like, confessional black hole that was just sucking all of the other confessionals into it with its gravity.
Yeah. I mean, who else do you hear from, really?
Well, if you're looking for people who can do the narrator thing, there's not a ton of people who are really great at narrating what's going on.
I think Steven would be a good narrator.
Steven is good. Steven is good in confessional.
Yeah.
You know, he is good in the secret scenes. He's funny.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he has not been in the loop as to what has been going on in the tribe. He's sort of been, so he's good at being the narrator, but he's been sort of like on the outside of like where the action is of like, he's like,
so he's narrating the wrong story.
Not necessarily, but in the beginning of the season, he was sort of on the outs with his tribe. And again, you could do that. You could be on the outs and be a good narrator. So I think that Steven's a good candidate for that. I think Jeremy is also somebody who's particularly good at that.
Because he's going to win.
Potentially. He's looking good. Cass is also pretty good at that. I think also Kelly Wentworth is somebody who's good at that. I think she's good at sort of like telling the story in her confessionals. I feel like Spencer, I feel like he's wordy in confessional, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who else, like, definitely not Kelly, not Wu. You know, Joe has not been that guy yet. Keith was really good in confessional, not necessarily as a narrator, but he was a really good and colorful character in San Juan del Sur, and he has not been that so far.
Right.
So
I don't really see anybody that could be taking this this job position.
Yeah, I think that really of the people that we're talking about, I feel like Steven is the best fit to sort of absorb the Jeff Varner narrator stuff. But we'll see ultimately how it goes. I mean, Savage can narrate, but
he's quiet.
Well, he's not necessarily quiet, but everything is like with such gravitas of everything.
It's very emotional.
It's very emotional, like very serious. Like there's not a lot of people who can sort of like be fun narrators.
Yeah.
Of what's going on.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see ultimately.
I think Tasha maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Tasha is also like, she's again, this anchor is kind of beating Tasha down too. Like she's very, very serious. Like she was like in tears over that they won the challenge the other day. So Tasha, I think, is all business, like maybe too much so to be sort of like the sort of like lighthearted narrator in the way that Jeff was doing. So,
but they didn't, you know, she's crying. They didn't have food. I was, you know, crying when Blue Apron came. I was so excited
because we didn't have food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that the season will go downhill, but I think that Survivor is going to be interesting this next week coming up to see who fills the hole from all of the airtime that Jeff Varner was eating up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from our good buddy, Ori Kohav. And he wants to know about the edit from this week's episode.
Hey, Rob. Ori Kohav here. Once again, throwing a note to editors. Where did that dragonfly come from? Anyway, it was pretty clear that Takeo will not go to Tribal Council because this episode, they didn't get any strategical moment. And that unfortunately made the challenge too predictable the moment Bion won. So, do you think the editors nulled this season? Because I don't recall it being the case back in All-Stars or Philippines.
All right, Nicole, I know you don't pay super close attention to this sort of stuff.
Question.
So, did you feel like it was obvious that Angkor was going to go to Tribal Council based on the edit of the episode?
Who's Angkor? All right, so I don't know the tribe names. Big deal.
All right. To you, Nicole.
Speak my language.
Okay. was it obvious that the tribe with Jeff Varner and Andrew Savage and Tasha and Wu and Abby Maria, was it obvious to you that they were going to go to tribal council based on the edit?
Well, as soon as they said, "Oh, we're going to win immunity," like I was like, oh, no, you're not.
Well, I did feel like that they have the thing. And we've seen this plenty of times in Survivor's past where it's like, hey, we're the loser tribe, but today we're going to win and today we can do it. Like, I feel like definitely we've seen that edit a lot. And I feel like more often than not, it results in the tribe that says, OK, we've had enough of losing. Today's the day we're going to win. You know, when they're eating that reward, you feel like that they're going to probably go ahead and win the immunity. I mean, it's set up that today is the day we're going to do it. Like, no more feeling sorry for ourselves. We're the little tribe that could, and then they weren't.
Yeah.
So I actually felt like, based on the edit, I was sort of like, oh, Cass is going. Cass is going. Oh, this is setting up Cass here. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's Bion, because they showed us the thing with Monica and Spencer. So I thought that Angkor actually was going to pull it out just based on the fact that they were talking about it. Like, Andrew was like, this tribe, I'm so proud of them that they finally did it. They showed so much heart today, and I know that they're going to win today. So I was like, okay, so, but then no. Just,
yeah, I felt it was like at tribal council whenever someone says, well, I'm safe.
Yeah. So you felt like them saying that they were going to be safe was actually then
not being safe. Yes.
Not being safe. Yes. Okay. So I know maybe Ori is just talked himself into it that they were going to be the one to go home. But I was actually thought it was possibly in doubt. Again, all week long, we said it's pretty sure Angkor is going to go to tribal council. And I'm saying again this week that unless something changes, Angkor is going to be what? 80%, 90% that they're going to go to tribal council this week?
Yeah.
Is there very much doubt that that's going to be the case? Mm. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's time to bring the tribes back together. I think it's going to be somewhat predictable going into Wednesday's episode of that we're headed into a will it be Wu or Abby tribal council vote?
Yeah.
So we'll see ultimately what happens this next Wednesday. All right, let's take a question from one of our good buddies. Travis from Missouri has a question. And this is a question actually for you, Nicole.
Hey, guys, it's Travis from Missouri. On this week's episode, we saw a Savage describe living on Angkor Beach as survivor hell. Now, Nicole, what are your thoughts on this? Since you're dealing with work, a toddler in the house, a round-the-clock podcasting and Snapchatting husband who's probably still leaving forks all over the place, all while you're in your third trimester of this pregnancy. Is Angkor Beach survivor hell or a much-needed vacation? Take it easy.
Okay. Nicole, on Survivor, there's three tribes. One of them is called Angkor, and
yes,
they're the worst tribe, and they have the worst beach.
Right.
Andrew Savage just said it was a dead cove.
Yes.
He said that it was like hell. Does the Angkor Beach sound like hell to you?
It does sound like a pretty sweet vacation.
So you would like...
After what he described my life is like, I didn't really see it like that, but wow, that sucks.
So you would like to go live on the Angkor Beach?
Perhaps not for 39 days, maybe a week.
For a week, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
he's perfect.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yes.
All right. You'd be like Kimmy.
Oh, this don't suck at all.
Well, I do kind of talk like that.
Yeah. But don't say that. Please don't say that. Okay. So for you, you wouldn't mind a trip to the Angkor Beach.
Wouldn't mind it at all.
Yes. But not in your current state.
With my impending labor?
Yes. Yes.
Not a good idea.
So, okay. So maybe sometime after, that could be like your baby moon.
You're supposed to take the baby moon before.
Oh, okay. Then no, I guess not. All right. This is a question that's coming from Nate in Nebraska has a question about this challenge. Now, do you remember this challenge from Survivor All-Stars?
No.
No, I try to block it out too. Okay. You remember it from this week though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here's a question from Nate from Nebraska.
Hi, Rockin' Rob and the Flop. This is Nate from Nebraska. Other than the damn hike to Star Guatemala, have we seen the competitors more worn down by a single challenge, man? From the tops of the damn bottom, everybody looked beat, man. Glad to see Big Steve on the winning end of that damn challenge, man. Love you, Bay.
Okay, love you, Bay. All right, so Nate wants to know, is this the roughest challenge ever? And
It was pretty awful.
It was pretty awful. You know, I talked about this on the know-it-alls that I feel like there's so many great challenges out there. Why do we have to do a challenge where so many people could get hurt? I felt like we were very lucky that Spencer didn't get his leg broken when they dropped that heavy block on him. But no, no, this is not the roughest challenge ever, because there are other challenges where people have gotten hurt and more hurt than they have in this and had to be medevaced from the game. The most rough challenge probably in the history of the show is Schmergen Brawl. Do you know about Schmergen Brawl?
What is that?
Schmergen Brawl was a challenge that was done in back-to-back seasons in Survivor Samoa and in Survivor Heroes versus Villains, which was the first challenge where, according to Jeff, somebody was removed from the challenge, even though it happened in the Attack Zone challenge in Survivor Thailand.
That's when they were hitting each other?
Yeah, there's. It's like basically...
I was going to say, yeah.
It was like rugby basketball, yeah. Basically, that there's sort of like a ball, which is sort of like a rugby ball, which you're sort of throwing in there, but then it's like also like full contact wrestling, and the outlaw, Ben Browning, is throwing people in, and Mike Barassi, the mean motor scooter, he ended up getting hurt in that challenge. And so it was a very rough challenge. And then they brought it back in Heroes versus Villains. And then I think that's also the challenge where, you know, Rupert like threw Jerry into a wall and James hurt his knee. So I think that's Schmergen Brawl. And they've actually stopped doing that challenge.
Sounds like a good idea. But I think this episode had some pretty crazy challenges between the three dudes going. Like, that was pretty exhausting. And then you put him into this.
Yes. So that was tough. Did you like how they had only one guy do the challenge?
I thought it was interesting.
You thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Let's come back to that reward challenge, because I also want to talk about then one other challenge, which was which comes to mind, which was especially dangerous for the contestants to participate in. Back in Survivor Micronesia, they had a challenge, which was a reward challenge, where they had the survivors tied to one another and then basically run through sort of an obstacle course.
What season was this?
This is in Survivor Micronesia.
Uh-huh.
And they called this challenge Cat and Mouse. And it's famous for when Joel, a.k.a. Truck, was attached to Chet and then dragged him through that. And Chet got hurt, but Jonathan Penner got injured, where then he had to ultimately be medevaced out of this game. I think Amy Cusack got hurt. Parvati ended up getting hurt, I think, in this challenge. So a bunch of survivors got hurt. Turned out that tying two survivors together and then having them run through like a bunch of pointy sticks was a bad idea for a challenge.
Not a good idea.
So I think that both of those challenges, just based on the amount of carnage and injuries and eventual medevacs from the game, those challenges are more dangerous than this one has been so far. But it does not mean that we could not lose a survivor to a medevac. I mean, that when we did this in the All-Stars, and I was lucky that I was sitting out of that challenge. Like, I was lucky at the time that we were doing it. I mean, I still like remember, and it's so clear on this, like, I mean, Big Tom 100% had a concussion during that. Like, it's like, hey, did anybody get the license plate of that truck that hit me? I mean, those things are heavy, and I forget who it was that was like walking. It's like Colby or something, and he's like walking with the thing over his shoulder, and it just hits Big Tom like square, like in the head. Like, it was really tough to watch.
It seems like a big liability.
It was a tough day all around, the things to watch for me.
We block it out for so many reasons.
Yeah, but it's so dangerous. I mean, even last season we had the whole thing with Kelly Remington where she was blindfolded and the thing fell on her head. You know, it's like, you know, it's enough that we have these people blindfolded. Like, I feel like the blindfold maze, if you're going to do that, is at least like, okay, I mean, how hurt could you get? But when we have people blindfolded
with
in an obstacle course,
blocks,
with heavy objects, with things that could fall, like we have people like pulling up an elevator with a pulley. It's just like, it's a huge accident. And last season it fell and hit a woman on her head. Like, I mean, they were lucky that she didn't get medevac. So I just don't know why we have to tempt fate. There's so many challenges we could do.
Can they sue for getting hurt, or you'd sign your life away?
You know what? That is a beyond my pay grade. Yeah. You would have to ask somebody.
You would think that that would be a concern.
Who knows what they're talking about. Yeah. I mean, I kind of think that you give up that
you
right.
You sign your life away.
When you go do the show, but
I mean, I just feel like that. We could be taking better care of these people. Like, there's so many great challenges, and it's not like there's any sort of like great thing where the viewers at home are like, "What? What do you mean, no more blindfold challenges? Oh, that's my favorite." So it's like nobody really even loves the blindfold challenge. You know, it's sort of like
no one cares.
Yeah, you're just like in the position where it's like, oh, like with the NFL. Like if you said, okay, well, we're going to take like this, you know, this dangerous thing out of the NFL, then it's like people are like, oh, but that's the best part. Nobody's like, oh, blindfold challenges. That's the best part of Survivor. Like if it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like if it was just like some other game or some other race, like nobody would even care.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. So then let's then take this question, which is another question from the great state of Massachusetts. This is another question for Nicole. Here we go, Nicole. Take it away.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. So I'm still mourning the loss of Jeff Varner on Survivor. He was fabulous television. So I just wanted to know, would you guys let Jeff Varner babysit Dominic? And if so, would you have to put a little muzzler on him because he curses a lot? So thanks for taking my question. Bye. Have a nice day.
All right, Nicole. So we've talked about this a couple of times throughout the course of doing these podcasts. All right. So here we are. We have to go out. We have a choice. I don't know who the other babysitting options are.
We have to go to the hospital because I'm in labor. We have no other babysitter.
Yes. How comfortable? What's your comfort level of leaving Jeff Varner to babysit?
Minus the language. I think he'd be a great babysitter.
Hopefully we get a good report when we come back from the hospital or wherever we were.
What just bit my ass?
Like, no, Dominic, that was bad. Why are you doing that? Don't do that. Like,
can't be any worse than my mother.
Yes. So I think that Jeff Varner would be fun.
That dude is going to get on my nerves.
And is the kid going to get on his nerves?
Probably.
That dude is going to get on my nerves.
I hope he's not talking about Dominic.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, for Jeff Varner, I think that he would be a good babysitter.
I think so too.
I think he's fun. I think it might get into mischief though.
Probably.
Yeah. Like I feel like you could see him like going through stuff.
Like our underwear drawer?
I don't know. I don't know about that. But in terms of like, it seems like he's a practical jokester.
Oh, like we're going to like open the closet and then something's going to pop out at us.
Yeah, I feel like who knows what could happen. Like, you know, I feel like we might have to get like the nanny cam going just to make sure there's no like hijinks or anything while we're gone.
Yeah.
So I think Jeff Varner would be overall we'd be fine. We'd have a lot more level of like sanity than probably some other people. We could do worse.
We can do a lot worse. Yeah,
we could do a lot worse.
And if we're desperate.
Yeah.
We'll call you.
All right. Then let's take this question about our good friend of the podcast, Cass. We have a question about her. And this comes to us from the St. Louis Wine and Cheese Club. Did you even know this was a thing?
I heard.
Okay.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. We need a break from Abby time.
So our question is about Cass. Was Kelly's suspicion of Cass's ulterior motives foreshadowing a future storyline?
Or was it just to show the evolution of Cass?
Do you think Cass could win the game?
The St. Louis Wine and Cheese Alliance would love to hear your thoughts.
All right. Let's talk Cass, Nicole.
Who is the director of this call?
I don't know. I think they choreographed it. All right. So let's talk about Cass. And so, Nicole, we both watched Cass very closely in Survivor Cagayan.
Right.
And now here she is in her second chance.
Uh-huh.
Have you been impressed with the metamorphosis of Cass, that she has gone from like a tiny little caterpillar to now she has gone into a cascoon.
Uh-huh.
And now she has turned into a beautiful caterfly.
Oh, you should have stopped there.
Yeah, that one was a stretch. That one was a stretch.
Yeah. No, I was especially impressed with her last night, and and she made Kelly eat her words.
Yeah. So, what did you think about that? That she made a beautiful birthday present.
Well, first I was like, "All right, Cass, she's changed. She's a different person." And then Kelly went up to her on the beach, and she's like, "Back it up, back it up."
Yeah. Stop. Turn around.
And I was like, "Oh, there she is. There she is."
Yeah. So Cass read the book. How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that this would be a great book for you to read.
Well, I actually was like, well, maybe I should read this. Like,
yeah. I have it on audiobook. I can get you the regular book. I think that this is very good. Because basically what the book says is that if you want to get ahead in life, what you should do is be nice to people. And then once you're nice to them, then people will want to help you. That's basically what this book is all about.
But I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, that's why I got you this book. It's like, oh, I need something from somebody. Let me do something nice for them so that they want to help me. See?
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. Instead of like, oh, I want something from this person. Let me yell at them and then make them scared if they don't do this thing. Then that's how I get them to do it. There's a different way that you
can. It works for you.
What works for me?
I mean, it works for, like, that's my strategy with you. It gets it done.
I guess so. Because you have a point there. Mm-hmm. But maybe if, like, when you're at the hospital, do you read?
No, I take care of sick patients.
No, I mean when you are, like, you know, recovering from childbirth.
Oh, okay.
Would that be some good reading material?
I'm going to have a newborn and a toddler, and you want me to read something?
Right. I think it's as a new mom, this would be a good skill set.
Are you on crack?
Maybe I can get Cass to give a review of the book.
Maybe Cass can just read it to me.
She could give you the cliff notes.
I want Cass to be the voice of my audiobook.
She's
going to
narrate the audiobook. Okay, we'll get her in the studio to record. All right. So, but you've been impressed with the cast formation?
Yeah, and I was actually like, oh, well, it's worked for her. It'll work for me.
So maybe Cass could be your mentor.
Possibly.
Yes. If this is truly a new leaf turned over. Have you been following any of the secret scenes?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I think that you would appreciate some of the ones where Cass is talking about Joe. She's very, very impressed with him.
She's impressed with Joe? Yes. So you think that's going to impress me?
No, I just thought you'd think that was interesting.
Okay.
There's also another secret scene from this week, which I don't have the clip from it or anything like that. But Jeremy let one of the chickens out.
Uh-huh.
He was like, this chicken's too skinny. I'm just going to let it out.
Oh, that's why he posted on his Facebook. He had a picture with a chicken.
Yeah. Damn. And so he ended up letting that chicken out. Uh-huh. And then he was like, just like talking about how, like, he's like, I love chicken, but like, this chicken is too skinny. Like, I don't want to eat this chicken. And so he sort of let it out, but he didn't tell anybody that he did it.
Uh-huh.
And so he like,
was, well, he shouldn't have.
Yeah. And then
I told anybody.
And then everybody from the tribe is like all like sitting around there. And so then like they're sitting there and Kimmy's in this tribe. And so like Steven says, like they see the chicken running around. Steven is like, Kimmy, did you do this? And she's like, yeah, I got up in the middle of the night in the dark and went over and let the chicken out and then climbed over all the obstacles and then got back into bed.
Oh, Steven, don't mess with her.
Yeah. Yeah. So do not mess with Kimmy either. But then they went all around and like chased it. But it was a funny scene.
Did they catch it?
No, they couldn't catch it. Yeah. So Jeremy only wants to eat like a healthy fat chicken.
Well, I agree.
Okay. So ultimately for Cass, have you been impressed enough that you think that we could be talking about her as a winner? Are you seeing winner upside for Cass?
I'm thinking baby steps right now.
Okay. Because you have baby on the brain?
Because I'm impending labor.
No, but I had just have to eat my words because I thought that this was going to be a rough go for Cass. I thought that she could have been the first person out of...
We both did.
Out of her tribe. I didn't think that she was going to be the first person off. I think she got it twisted on Twitter. I never said she was going to be the last time. I said she'd be the first person off. Rob, I thought she could be the first person out of their tribe.
Don't make her mad. Just agree with her.
Yeah. But that being said, yeah, I feel like that can Cass win the game?
I need to see more of this.
Because the thing about Cass is the same thing that we're saying about Abby Maria. She's one of these people where then once she gets to the merge, just like Sandra, she's deadly. She's deadly. Nobody's worried. Nobody's coming after Cass after the merge. Mm-hmm. Only Wu was thinking about voting Cass off after the merge when he could be taking her to the end. Nobody is like, oh, well, got to watch out for Cass now.
Yeah.
So if she can make it to the merge and she's set up well right now, then she
keeps making birthday presents.
Yes. Yes. You have to start worrying about Cass as the winner.
Yeah.
Because she fits that Sandra profile of somebody who could be ignored up until the end. And if she does have this new sort of that everybody is like thinking about her differently. And again, the edit is showing us a couple times now, this is a new cast.
But people aren't quite realizing it as quickly.
Okay. But it's only like day 10.
Okay.
So either it'll hold or she'll revert back to the other cast.
Yeah, because in Survivor, you are who you are. Can she keep this up? Well, is
that what you believe? That I've been asking this to a lot of the guests as we've gone through here, and I think it's such a important question of can people change? What's your belief on this?
I think you are who you are. I mean, you can try your best to change, but once you're put out in the elements where you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you're hangry,
You're hangry.
Hungry and angry.
I'm gonna write that down. Is that how you are most of the time?
I'm always hangry. Yes.
You are quite hangry.
Yes. I get angry when I'm hungry.
It's like a Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
So in terms of people, do you feel like, because I've always said that I feel like in Survivor, people are talking about like, oh, I was playing a character. And
you
I feel like
you weren't.
And I feel like Survivor will always bring out your truest version of yourself. I think it's easier to play a character in real life. And I think Survivor sort of strips you down and makes it harder to be a different person than you truly are, because that's sort of like in the worst of circumstances, that's who comes out. So in terms of like, okay, well, I'm going to be a different person at this new job. I think you could pull that off easier than being a different person on Survivor. So
I still think that's even short term.
Yes. Do you believe in people's capacity to change under relatively short amounts of time?
No.
So you don't feel like it's possible that somebody like Cass can be a different person than she was a year ago?
I think that she can do it up until a point.
Yeah.
And I think she's doing a great job. If she can keep it up, I think that she could win this. But I don't know. Not that I don't think she can do it. I don't think people can do it.
Yeah. Just to give my two cents on this, and I feel like I've been talking about this a lot with the guests this season, is that I kind of believe, I do believe in people's capacity to change, but I think it's a lot harder than many people think it is. Like, oh, okay, well, I'll just be different this season. You know, oh, I'll just be more emotional. I'll just be less emotional. I just won't get angry this time.
A lot of therapy, a lot of book reading.
I think it requires a lot of
self-reflection.
Yeah, work on yourself.
Yes.
And a lot of it. And, you know, there's definitely things about myself that I've tried to change over the years. And, you know, it's very hard to not just go back to old habits.
Totally.
And things that work in the past.
What do your guests normally say?
I think that they've talked about a lot of things. You know, it's especially interesting.
This is a trick. I listen. I know.
So, yeah, right. But I thought that Denise had some very interesting takes on that because, of course, you know, as a therapist,
Goofy Gal knows everything.
She works with people who are trying to change them. That's why they're in therapy. And she says that ultimately, you know, if people can't change, then, you know, her, you know, career is a waste.
But that's over a period of time.
Right. And that's what she's working on with people. Like, I think it's very hard to sort of just wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be different. I'm going to play Survivor different this time. I'm not going to do this when people say. So I think it requires a lot of work. But I think that the kinds of things that Cass is talking about are things that you would do along that way. And I don't know how many other people like read books about things.
Well, there's the thing also, like people will watch their season and they'll, you know, they just like harp on all the mistakes that they made and everything. And then they think that, okay, well, my second chance, I'm just going to change this. But they don't do any work to...
You got to do the work.
Yeah.
You got to do the work. And kudos to Cass for, again, we'll see if it holds, but at least, you know, getting into doing that work and taking it seriously. And I thought she was fooling around. Like, I thought she was just like sort of joking around like, hey, I'm reading this book. I guess, look at me. I've read it. That's Trish said I needed to read it. But so good for her. For actually
totally.
Putting in the time. All right, let's take a question about Tasha, who we haven't talked too much about. And this is from Gene, who wants to get Nicole's take on Tasha. Here is the question from Gene.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Nicole. It's Gene from New Hamburg, Canada calling. I see Tasha as more of a mean girl in her edit so far. Wondering if Nicole has any thoughts, being a woman, if she picks up on any of this. Rob and Josh have been fairly favorable to her so far. We saw a bit of this in the Miss Survivor competition last year. Potentially, will things get complicated with Kelly down the road? Love to hear your thoughts. Good luck with the potty training.
Okay, Nicole, what has been your read on Tasha so far?
I feel like Tasha's kind of all over the place.
She's all over the place. Yeah. Okay, how so?
Like, one minute she's crying, one minute she's like, you know, getting emotional over, you know, Savage or whatever, and the next minute she's talking about, you know, Abby Maria, and then she's talking crap about somebody else. But then I feel like she's a good player, so I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it didn't really come up in my interview with Jeff Varner, but Jeff Varner really killed Tasha in some of his other interviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was really anti-Tasha. Let me just bring up, I think that Gordon Holmes, especially in his interview with her. So in the interview with Jeff, Gordon Holmes asked him about talking about Tasha, and he talked about just a couple different things. He said that she was the person who was nasty. He said that he didn't like her sort of like aggressive posture at Ponderosa. And he goes into a lot more detail, and he talked about how she plays the God card, which he didn't really care for. So there's really no love lost between Jeff and Tasha. It's just weird that didn't really come up in my conversation with him.
Uh-huh.
But the only thing he said about her was that he had mentioned that she had he mentioned her armpits in an unflattering way. But,
ooh, what about her armpits?
Again, I don't want to get into it. You could listen to my interview with Jeff Varner. But it seems like there's no love lost with Jeff Varner towards Tasha.
Oh, I'm a little grossed out.
All right. I don't want to talk about that. So in terms of that, your opinion as a woman, are you seeing anything about Tasha?
I mean, I can see her being a very overconfident person.
You think she's getting overconfident?
I think at times she can be.
Okay. So do you feel like that is she being set up for a fall?
Oh, it's possible.
Okay. All right. So we will see. But nothing, no alarm bells are going off for you as a woman.
I haven't had any alarms go off for Tasha.
No Tasha alarms yet. Are you surprised that her and Andrew have been so close?
Yes. I was Andrew this emotional on his first season?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so.
I don't, but Tasha wasn't this emotional her first season, was she?
No, I don't think that she was not as much.
Yeah.
Let's take this question from Zach in Calgary, Alberta. And he wants to ask a question about one of our other favorites, Woo. Okay, here we go. Here is Zach.
Hi, it's Zach calling from Calgary. I want to know if after that amazing travel council performance by Wu, do you think that he actually figured out what the game of Survivor is? Thanks. Bye.
Nicole, did Wu last night figure out what the game of Survivor is?
I think this is a pretty funny question because we're at like a season and a half of Wu and he's just figuring it out.
So I don't know. The Wu did have to fight for his life in the game, but I don't know necessarily if that's going to ultimately change who Wu is. I mean, as the thing about that was weird about last night, he was sort of like having to fight to like define who he is in the game, that he had to say like, whoa, I'm a loyal guy who's going to be good in the challenges. Like, and that is who Wu is. Like, it's not like he was fighting to be somebody who he isn't.
Right. I think Jeff did a much better job at that than he did.
Yeah, I think his pitch was stronger. And I think that he was
what, like Jeff's pitch?
Jeff's pitch.
Oh,
like,
totally.
I think he was making better points, but I mean that Wu's argument, which is a good one, and is the reason why you would want to keep Wu around, is that he is loyal to a fault and he's good in the challenges.
But do you think that he only like acknowledged that because that's the feedback he got when he got home from his first season?
No.
Or did he actually like realize like that's his role in the game?
No, I mean, I feel like if anybody, I don't know who was giving Wu feedback. Like, I don't know if Wu, I doubt Wu was from a family of Survivor fans that were like, Wu, I can't believe you blew it. Like, I don't think that Wu goes on the internet. Like, I really don't think that Wu is on Survivor Reddit, like going through all the threads like, oh man, I should have done this differently. I think that Wu sort of, he did Survivor Kageyan. I think he sort of just walked, again, I have no idea. Like, I don't know Wu at all. But I don't get the sense that he is like some of the other people on this season, sort of like really tracking the feedback and really sort of going through and like really like looking at like, oh, this was the response from my last season. So yeah. I'm going to change this up. I think Wu is Wu.
Yeah.
Wu is who he is. So I don't know ultimately like if Tony gave him advice or whatever, but I think that this was sort of like very cut and dry in this. Wu is exactly the person you should want to keep around. So
do you think he's a good player?
No, I don't think that Wu is a... but again, he's somebody who's probably going to go far into the game. But in terms...
But not because he's a good player.
Yeah, I think that because he is so non-threatening, I think then the only reason why you say that he's a threat is because then he's good at the challenges.
Right.
But it's strategically, like, I feel like he is very much not a threat. But he's a loyal guy. He's a loyal soldier. He's somebody you would love to have in your alliance, but you're not worried about him. Sort of like he's somebody
thinking
that,
on his own.
Right. When you're sitting there at Ponderosa with these people, you're not like, oh man, Wu is somebody you have to really watch out for. Just like if he's there at the end, it's like, oh yeah, we got to make sure Wu doesn't win immunity. Okay. And then when his number is up, his number is up, but you're not scared of Wu.
Yeah.
So I think that, it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of major paradigm shift for Wu. I don't think that there necessarily will be after this. Okay, let's talk about, this is a question about, we talked about that immunity challenge, that reward challenge a little bit here. Here is a question about that, and this is from KX.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Nicole. How crazy was this week's episode? I mean, Wu has game? Monica has airtime. Honor is out. Abby actually feels bad about voting someone out. And Terry instead of Joe for the reward challenge. Oh my gosh, what is going on here?
All right, well, let's just talk about that last part about where, Nicole, were you surprised that Terry did that challenge instead of Joe?
No.
Why?
I just thought it automatically was going to go to Terry.
You automatically thought it was going to go to Terry.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it was something that we learned about Terry during the challenge last night. And maybe that Joe can't compete with this. Did you catch that Jeff said this about Terry in the challenge?
He's big and long.
Yeah.
Oh, you think I would miss something like that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe can't compete.
So, wow.
Shut the
whoa.
Front door.
Wow. So how about that in terms of that? So many people sent me about, hey, Deets, big and long. I mean, the thing about that with this quote.
Deets, big and long.
Like, it doesn't even make sense with what they're doing.
Like, how does Jeff not realize what he's saying? Or is he doing this on purpose?
I kind of feel like he has to be. Because to say, like, Terry, big and long, like, that doesn't even apply.
He said it a few times. There were a few times he said, I think one was about Savage.
Yeah, which one?
He called him long and something.
He's big and long.
Like, it's like, if you would say, like, oh, Terry, like, that was too hard. Like, okay, they say, okay, well, maybe that makes sense for what they're doing. Like, there's
dirty,
no...
but it makes, you know...
Yeah, like, the, oh, he jumped on the thing, he hit it too hard. But big and long, like, does not even apply. If you say, like, okay, that one went too long. Okay, fine. But big, that was too big of a jump on the thing and the Beanie Baby flew too long.
Deets, big and long.
It doesn't even make sense.
Well, congratulations, Mrs. Deets.
Yes, and yes. And you know that Mrs. Deets, in her Survivor appearance in Survivor Panama, that she went, she her and Terry had like the conjugal visit in Survivor Panama.
Deets, big and long.
We know why
yes,
now?
Yes. Terry also gave us a great line from the episode to Joe. Did you catch when he said this?
Yo, bro, Chacho.
After.
Yeah.
What is he saying? Joe Brochacho?
Joe Brochacho.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Is that a nickname?
It is now.
Wow. Terry's the best. He's coming up with Joe Brochacho. But then you felt bad for Terry at the point where in the blindfold part of the challenge, when like Cass just like wasn't talking to him, like she was just like telling Joe what to do.
Yeah.
And Terry was just sort of like on his own, like being like by himself. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I like vaguely.
This is what Jeff said to him at that point.
Like the guy at the party that no one will talk to, waiting for an invitation to dance.
Yeah, you would think.
I remember.
After
yeah.
this, he wouldn't be so lonely at the party.
Deep, big, and long.
Some people are scared of that.
Yeah, maybe. That's why nobody wants to dance with him.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. Guess so. It's just that's why he's such a lonely guy.
Like the guy at the party that no one will talk to, waiting for an invitation to dance.
Which actually describes me at most parties.
Is Jeff waiting for the invitation? Like what?
I think Terry is lonely at the party, wandering around waiting for an invitation to dance. Is that how you get to dance? You have to be invited to dance?
Usually the guy just comes behind you and starts grinding.
Okay. All right. More than we needed to know. Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to take another question. A couple more questions, Nicole.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take this question from Michael from Northern California, where I'm headed soon.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Nicole. Michael from Northern California here. Was just curious, Nicole, this is a question for you, with this being a season of returning players and wondering what your thoughts were if you specifically, Nicole, want to see Rob play again. Interested to hear your answer. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Michael from Northern California wants to know, Nicole, would you be looking forward to seeing me play Survivor again?
Part of me would love watching you play again, but then part of me, I don't know if I could handle watching you again.
Why? What would be hard to handle?
Well, I'm emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have famously said that the biggest reason that you don't want me to go play Survivor again is what?
I don't know. What was it?
That you are worried that relatives are going to come and stay with you while I go play Survivor. That would was your biggest reason why you didn't want me to go play.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want that.
Which is so, it's the stupidest thing. Like that's your ultimate concern. If I went to go play Survivor, you're worried that relatives would come and
say. Is that my ultimate concern? Because that is that what I just said now?
Yes.
No. I mean, it's a concern, but I don't know if I could handle watching you.
What would be harder for you to handle, that watching me or if relatives came to stay with
Depends
you?
Depends which relatives.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the many reasons why I'll just stay here.
No, I would love to watch you play again.
You, if it was your call, would you want me to go do it or you want me to
I would never hold you back from it.
Okay. All right. Let's say one more question, one more voicemail. This is from the great Ron Chan has a question for Nicole.
Hi, Robin, Nicole. It's Ron from Toronto. I have a very important question. What is going to happen first? Keith getting two confessionals in an episode or baby sister Nino number two being born?
Okay. What is Ron like banging on the table?
It sounds like they were like hiding a dead body in there.
Okay. So, Nicole, what's going to happen first?
I was distracted by the dead body.
Okay. Well, I paid attention. So, okay. What is going to happen first? Are you going to deliver baby number two or is Keith going to get another confessional first?
I don't know. I think this baby's coming.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday is far away.
Yeah.
Keith could have the like a Jeff Varner type episode soon. But. We'll see. So you think that this baby, I mean, when is your due date?
November 17th.
November 17th. Yes. We are recording this on October 15th. You feel like you are about to go a full month early.
I feel like this baby's coming soon.
Okay.
And according to my BuzzFeed quiz, it's impending.
An impending baby. So we will see. Is this how you felt during the last baby?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So we'll see ultimately. What happened? So you say baby before Keith now.
Yeah. Like I feel baby trying to escape.
Okay. Well, just stick to the birth plan. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And with the baby too, as long as the baby keeps burping, then you'll be okay.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Yeah, that's right. Are you ready to talk about some Survivor social media?
Of course.
Nicole, I know you're having trouble breathing, so just remember that, you know, my friend Tony taught us in llamas class. That's a...
That's what it sound like when I'm giving birth.
Yes, that's it. In llamas class, that's what we learned.
That's how
to breathe like that.
That's how you deal with contractions.
Yes. Every 5 seconds, then you say that. And that's how you, that's the Tony method of birthing.
It's like hypnobirthing.
Yes, yes. You take llamas class.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into everything from the Survivor social media, what's going on in the world. And of course, we can't get into Survivor social media without hearing our Survivor social media intro music.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Survivor tweets. They're better than winning friends and influencing peeps. Tweets.
Yeah. Better than winning friends and influencing peeps.
Speaking of which, is Russell Hantz still alive?
I believe Russell Hantz may not be watching this season of Survivor.
But he's not even tweeting. He's not doing anything. I'm concerned.
I think he's tweeting a little bit.
I don't know. I'm not concerned.
Not about Survivor. I mean, he's not showing up on any of my reports.
Why isn't he tweeting or watching Survivor?
He's probably jaded that he's not on the season, if I had to guess.
Well, it's not his second chance,
yeah.
Russell.
Yeah.
But so it works.
I mean, he was actually, he was live tweeting the Democratic debates the other night, I believe.
Oh, dear. That should be interesting.
Which is always fun. Yes, that's right. So you could follow that along the way. Okay. So, Nicole, let's get into the tweets. Here's one from Eliza. She said, Hero Challenge, Hero Edit. Geez, could CBS love Andrew Savage any freaking more? Hashtag FUAS. What do you think of Eliza's hashtag FUAS hashtag that she's going with?
At least she's not cryptic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Eliza tweeted, "This is so stupid. If Wu and Jeff vote together and bring Abby over, it doesn't have to be one or the other. The problem is Abby.
With me, your dad.
Oh, yeah. careful, Eliza."
Eliza also tweeted, "It is so sad about the outcome of this vote. We just lost the breakout superstar of the season. Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag heartbroken."
Oh, her throwback Thursday photo was a picture of her and Varner.
Yeah.
She's very upset about it.
Very upset.
No, who wasn't?
As we all are. Okay. Steven Fishback, have you followed him on Twitter that he does a thing where he tweets to himself?
I thought he does it by accident.
I don't think so. He tweeted to himself, at Steven Fishback, "Are you that awkward in real life or is it the edit?" And edits in quotation marks. And then I think he replied to that, "I'm asking myself the same question." I'm worried about Steven.
Is he losing it?
He might be losing it. Crazy Uncle Steven. He could be losing it. Okay, Cass tweeted to Steven, "Being the caller in a blindfold challenge was my Survivor nightmare, kind of like you chopping anything."
Oh, Cass, that's not how you win friends and influence people.
That's not what you do?
No.
Okay, Cass also said, "Tonight on Survivor, the theory that 50-plus-year-old men have adapted to block out women's voices is put to the test."
Oh, I get it.
Keith couldn't hear her.
Got it.
Keith couldn't hear her. You ready for Penner? Penner tweet.
The debate?
No, he also...
He did...
he should debate Russell Hantz. That would be a good debate. All right, so Penner said, "Abby hates having to be the decision maker, like when the executioner hates having to be the last person you see." What do you think of that one?
It's deep.
Then Penner tweeted, "Ouch, but really a surprise? Nope. What's weird is how much screen time he got for the last 4 weeks. Are there really that many dull people?"
Oh, you're getting into Casey Kasem a little bit.
You're critiquing my impressions?
I'm a critiquer.
I've missed you so much on having you up here.
Oh, I've missed
I've
being
really,
here.
I've really missed having you on the podcast.
It was getting a little Casey Kasem-ish.
Yeah, no, no, I rarely have another guest that is has as much feedback during the shows.
I just keep it 100.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Cass, can you send that book over here? Can we get that over here? Okay. Max Dawson tweeted, Abby time is like regular time, except the clock accuses you of having a personal grudge against it.
Mm.
Okay. Then let's see who else. PG had a tweet. She said, yay, now I can just relax and throw shade. I mean, commemorate the rest of the season.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's see. Then let's go to Sophie had a tweet. She said, I like it when Stephen Fishback and Spencer are holding hands.
Oh,
hashtag fangirling. Have you ever fangirled about something, Nicole?
Probably.
Yes. What?
I'd have to think about it.
I feel like you have to be a fan of something first.
I'm a fan of things.
What are you a fan of? You have a fan on a lot.
Well, my body temperature is like 120 degrees.
So you fangirl about cool temperatures.
Yes. And being on the Survivor Island for a week.
Yeah. Vetus was throwing some shade. He said, I'm curious to see if yet another person who voted against me will be ousted tonight. Still 4 out of 6 left.
Mm.
So he likes it when...
keeping tabs.
Yeah, Vetus is like sitting there waiting for people to... He's like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Waiting to see all the people that voted for him go out of the game. All right. You ready to play Rupert Tweets?
Yes.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert Tweets.
Okay. These are Rupert Tweets. I'm going to give you 3 Rupert Tweets and then 1 Billy Garcia tweet. Okay? So I'm going to give you 3 Rupert Tweets, 1 Billy Garcia tweet. You have to find the Billy Garcia tweet.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Number 1. Wow. That's a tweet.
That's Rupert.
That's a tweet. Okay. Number 2. This is a fun challenge to watch.
That's a Rupert.
Okay. Number 3. Did Joe shave his armpits? And number 4, reward challenge for food coming up, and it's a water challenge. Yes, those are my faves.
So I have to pick the Billy Garcia tweet?
Yes, you have to find the Billy Garcia tweet.
I think the last one is Billy Garcia.
All right, so you think Rupert was, wow, this is a fun challenge to watch, and did Joe shave his armpits?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to switch it to, did Joe shave his armpits? That's Billy Garcia.
You think that's more of a Billy
Garcia?
That's
more Billy Garcia.
Okay.
It's more insightful.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
What did you think about the Joe armpit controversy?
Did they mention it?
It wasn't mentioned.
I didn't notice. I don't look at people's armpits.
Well, I saw it on Survivor Reddit today.
So he has no hair in his armpits?
No hair.
Oh, he gets laser hair removal.
Yeah. I think that's what Russell Hantz tried to do before Survivor Redemption Island.
Why would a man do that?
I don't know. I don't know these things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I understand chicks.
Hey, look, I think it's 2015, Nicole.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do.
So he's a hairless chihuahua except on his head.
Again, he has all of his great hair on his head.
He just saves it.
Saves it.
It's like, why do I need hair anyplace else? I have all this lovely hair on my head.
Right, right. That's why in the words of Andrew Savage's daughter.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, chacho.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so am I right?
You are... not right.
No, was I right the first time?
Yep.
Never change your answer.
Yes, that's right. So Rupert did indeed tweet, wow, this is a fun challenge to watch. And did Joe shave his armpits? Billy Garcia tweeted, Survivor reward challenge for food coming up, and it's a water challenge.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert tweets.
Some other gems from Rupert was also he tweeted, should have played Joe. He also said, I missed Abby is the biggest lie in Survivor since my grandma died.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good one. All right, Nicole, and there you have it. That's the Survivor voicemails and social media for the week.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. You hung in there. Are we going right to the hospital?
No, not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay, so, and we got to hear some inappropriate quotes from Jeff.
Deep, big, and long!
We didn't get to play this, but this was another quote I pulled from Varner talking about what life is like on the Angkor tribe, which is the tribe that he was on.
I know now.
Okay. This is what he felt like he was going to have to do.
I've got to kiss their asses.
Like the way he just like had it like with such disdain. Like, yep. I got to kiss their asses.
Well, who wants to do that?
I've got to kiss their asses.
What just bit my ass?
I've got to kiss their asses.
Very Forrest Gump-like.
What, the Jeff Varner had to kiss their asses?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's tough to do. Okay. All right. So, Nicole, what's next for you?
Bed.
Okay. Yes. So, Nicole is going to bed and hopefully will not be giving birth sometime this weekend.
Hopefully not.
Okay.
I need to make it till past Tuesday.
Past Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Because I have to make it past 36 weeks.
36 weeks. Okay. Yes. I thought you were, because you were wanting to put the focus on my birthday.
It was a surprise. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So probably this is going to be the last time you hear Nicole, but I can't imagine a scenario where we have her return to the podcast before then.
Before Tuesday?
I can't imagine the scenario that you return before Tuesday or before the baby is born.
Probably not.
Probably neither.
Probably not.
Okay. So, yeah. Nicole, is there anything you want to say to your legions and legions of loyal listeners?
Oh, you guys are just so awesome.
Yeah.
I've got to kiss their asses.
That's how you win friends and influence people.
Yeah. Nicole, what did you think of Spencer's story from last week?
When my current girlfriend started saying, like, I love you. I was like, I didn't say it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't want to like.
No, that's really good though. You're not supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. She still like feels like, you know.
You haven't said it yet?
No.
Oh snap!
Was that an oh snap story for you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You should always say it back.
Well, does he? Does he love her? Yes. Does he not love her? No, then why wouldn't you say it?
Oh, maybe it's you try to get hand.
Oh, stop playing games. Okay. Cut the crap.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, and really, and just
because I am a committal person.
That's it. You want to be a committal person, yes, in a relationship. Yes. Okay. All right. That being said, so Nicole, anything else? I feel like this is like the, you know, your big goodbye on the podcast now.
I'm not quitting. I'll be back
in 2016.
In 20, yeah, maybe. Well, maybe before then.
Probably you're not going to be on the show again until after the season is over.
Why am I not getting invited back?
Well, I think it's going to be tough to do with two babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say?
Nope. I just love being here.
Adios, brochacho.
Adios, brochacho.
All right. Hashtag for the podcast. I think hangry is the winner.
Yes, hangry.
All right. So, Nicole, thank you again for your outstanding analysis of the season.
Oh, please. That's not why I'm here.
Oh, snap.
What are you here for?
Not analysis.
Yeah. What are you here for?
All I could think about was Joe's body.
Ew.
Well, now we're thinking about it with the armpit thing.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, thank you again for your service to the podcast.
Thank you for finally inviting me back.
Yes. Good to have you.
I don't get very many invites lately.
All right, so great to have you back, And we appreciate that. And of course, if you guys haven't listened to the Randy part of this podcast or the Randy part of this week's episode recap, definitely check that one out. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who is really had a very big task to edit this podcast together for you guys to listen to. And we're going to be back. Amazing Race coverage. We're going to be talking about Scream Queens on post-show recaps on Friday. Plus, I'll be back with Josh Wigler to recap the latest episode of The Walking Dead. This Sunday night, I'm going to be up doing a show in San Francisco live with Tyson.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That's going to be very fun this
weekend.
Is that
going to be the Tyson Hour?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
That's going to be live on blab.im on Saturday. So keep an eye on that on social media. And then much more to do next week. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye.